22, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm ready. So now we're up to the last halacha and hilchos for filas. We'll get on to the next thing, next topic. Let's say someone comes over to you and says, so I've used my calculator and left it on. Don't use my phone. Left it on. Are you allowed to say, I didn't do it? It wasn't me. Okay, yes. If it's time a guy just asks you, so left it on, is it me? Then you're allowed to say it wasn't me.
Okay. Even if there's only two people and they're involved in the situation?
So if there's two people that...
You and your brother, there is one room, your brother asks you, did you eat the cookies? You say no. That means...
Right, so there's the problem. There's the bigger problem to say. Right, here it's not so simple. Here it's clear. If it could be many other people, then it's fine. Even if this guy's going to go around to each guy and say, was it you? I'll figure it out. But I'm not saying what he was for saying that it wasn't you. However, if there was a board meeting and someone asked me if I voted for him, right? And even if I did vote for him, I'm not allowed to say if I voted for him or not, because that's for his. That was a closed meeting. Since these types of meetings are closed meetings, you're not allowed to say that you didn't vote for a certain guy. You did vote for him. The guy said, do you vote for me, not vote for me? Even if he demands to know, you're not allowed to say anything. You just tell him the discussion of the meeting was a private matter. Now, Chazal Chaim is an example of a real-life situation. Reuven, who sells Judaica, right, he received a few rare portraits by a renowned artist. So Shimon passes the store and he wants it. He says, sell it to me. Right? Shimon says, sell me this picture. Sell me this portrait. So they make a deal, this and that. Fine, they come with the price. It's $500. Ah. Then he frees it to his pocket. He forgot his checkbook at home. He tells him, hold the picture for me. Hold the picture for me because I need you to get my checkbook. I'll come back in a few hours. Meanwhile, what happens? Meanwhile, Levi comes and he offers Reuben a better price. He tells him, I'll pay you $600. So Reuben wants the money. He says, okay, he sells it to him. Now what happens when Shimon comes back? Now Shimon comes back. So what does Reuben say? So Reuben, I'll tell you the truth. Really, I wanted to sell it to you. I told Levi that I want to sell it to you. He didn't listen. And he convinced me to sell it to him anyway. That's Rechilus. And if it's not true, then it's about to Shimon. Right, so many times in business, one person comes along and I'm willing to do them a favor. Then a better friend comes along and I want to do the favor for him. I want to sell the thing to him. So what do people do? They lie. They say, you know what I mean? The third guy came along and he really convinced me and I told him I was going to give it to you. He told me he should give it to him anyway. That's rechilos. If it's not true, it's even much of a shamer. But if it is true, it's going to be considered rechilos. What's that? Let's just finish over here. Chavis Chaim notes that all too often in such situations, Reuven's account is merely a cover up for the real story. Right? Levi really is offered a better price. And David Reuven, if it's not true, is guilty of Hatzas Shemra. Chavis Chaim offers a final word of caution. Sometimes Reuven is honest and places the blame on his own shoulders. I'm sorry, he says. It was my fault. Someone came along with a better price and I sold it to him without informing that I had a verbal understanding with you. Even then, Reuben should not reveal the identity of the purchaser. If it's possible, Shimon will harbor some ill will towards Levi despite the fact he was innocent of any wrongdoing. Let's say I say the truth. I tell him, Shimon? Levi really came with a better price. I wanted to sell it to him on my part. Still, you shouldn't say that because then Levi is going to harbor ill will towards Shimon for buying his painting.
Question?
Yes, question.
The halacha, if somebody makes a verbal agreement, it's allowed to go over and deal a better price than somebody else. Or if you have to ask the first person, hey, can you match this price?
That's a good question. It could be halachically even a verbal agreement, you're not chayiv. But Jewish people, you shouldn't go against your word. It's not the way the Jewish people to go against their word. But even if it was a verbal agreement alone, it's not the right thing to do l'chatchila, but...
Okay, but you can go over and say I got a better price, can you match it? That's not an avera, or is it to give a verbal agreement?
It's not straight. It's not being straight. It says that Jews should be straight.
Money isn't the most important thing in the world.
Right. How also it could be, it's Motei She'eskerav.
I don't think so.
No, that's the truth.
I'm far from thinking.
When you look around.
Yeah, so Baruch Hashem, we're going to try to finish the class of the page. Yeah, so holding now.
So 18b.
Yeah, 10 lines for the body. Fine, so we're holding now Yud Ches Vav Beis 18b, 10 lines for the body. So just to give an important introduction to this Gemara, which Tzvi pointed out, it needs an introduction. We have to know one thing before we start this Gemara, that the rule by Kachim is, how do you know if something is ma'akim or not? Which means there's many halachas in by the karbanis, right? The degree 50 halachas, I'm bringing a karban. Now, how do I know if I missed out one of them that my karban is disqualified?
It's double lashon.
Oh, so when it's double, when it says twice the same thing in the Torah, if it tells me the same thing twice, so the fact that the Torah repeated it tells me it's serious business. The fact that the Torah repeated it tells me if you're not going to do it, your karban is going to be disqualified. It will hold back your karban from being accepted. It's a very important rule to know. Now, really, Rashi alluded to this rule, which is important anyway to see the Rashi, unless sugya, the Rashi Rabbi Yehuda. Just start with that Rashi because it was really explaining our sugya. Because the Gemara just said Rabbi Yehuda, so Rashi told us the background. It's important now to start with that Rashi about Rabbi Yehuda. Let's see the Rashi Rabbi Yehuda. 15 lines of the bottom of Rashi. Rabbi Yehuda. Little Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Lai ma'akva hanacha. It does not hold it back, hanacha. The fact that you did not place the fikurim fruits down does not hold back the fikurim from being accepted and from the kain being able to eat it. Why? Because the darish, he darshens the hinachta yisera. The extra time that he says the hinachta. He doesn't learn that he's teaching you a second time to place it to tell you that it's disqualified if you don't do it. And we're in the tenufa. He used it to teach us the halacha that you need to wave it with the kain. The ain mikra shinoi v'hanacha l'akav. There's no, it's not in the pasuk shinoi like a repetition, a second time teaching it to tell you to put it down, which will teach you la'akav that it holds it back from being accepted. If you don't, all the rabban, however,
Yehuda learns the tenufa yisera.
He learns the extra of a hinasa is going on tenufa.
I thought that was rabbanon.
Rabbi Yehuda, what does Rabbi Yehuda hold? We're going to see through the review the whole
Hanacha.
Right, not Ma'akiv. So the second time it says Hanacha, he doesn't usually teach me Hanacha. He uses it for something else.
He's usually, Rabbi holds Pnei Abaye. You don't need it. It doesn't hold it back. Right? So therefore, yes, I'm not Ma'akiv. It doesn't hold back. He doesn't need it. He's using the second
Hanacha.
For Tnufan.
Right, which means so he doesn't have two Psukim now for Hanacha. So it's not Ma'akiv.
Yeah.
So therefore, we have no reason to say that it holds it back. There's no two psukim teaching me the same thing.
Okay.
However, Ula Rabbanan, according to the Rabbanan, to loy darshi loy lahachi, they don't darshan it for this, right? They learn tenufa from somewhere else. They don't use this pasuk to teach you tenufa. So mebailu, we need it l'shanas to teach us again to repeat b'hanacha. We need it to teach me a second time, a second pasuk for hanacha. La'akiv to teach me that it holds back. So Rashi is explaining basically the outline of our next of our Gemara. Let's see the Gemara inside, 10 lines to the bottom. My Rabbi Yehuda. What is the Shita's Rabbi Yehuda that he told me about that he holds, even if you don't put down the fruits, then it's not ma'akiv, it doesn't bother me. The kohen could still eat it. Even this namad. The Tani, the Melanchthon, it was taught in the Braisa. Yehuda, I'm Rabbi Yehuda, says, when the Pali says the hinachta, izu tenufa, it's referring to tenufa. It's referring, when it says put down, it doesn't really mean to put down the fruits of the bikurim. It means you should wave it. Ata Omer Zu Tnufa. Are you going to say that this pasuk is referring to waving? Eina Ela Hanacha, or it's not only, rather, it's referring to putting Hanacha Mamish, placing it down. So Kishahu Omer. One, it says in the pasuk earlier, Vihinichai, and place it down. Haray Hanacha Omer. Behold, we already said Hanacha. Ready, steady, you have to put down the bikurim.
Do we know where Rabbi Yehuda learns out that hinachto is tenufa?
I'm going to explain to Rashi explains. Yeah, we're going to explain to. Yeah, it's a good question. So Hamani Mekaimihina. Hamani Mekaimihinachta. So what do I do for Hinachta? Zutnufa. This is waiting. So again, what happened over here? Now we have two pasuk. Right, we have one pasuk, which is Devarim. Fine. So we have one pasuk that says, put the Bikurim and place it down in front of Hashem.
Right.
Now, this is already pasuk Yud. Parik Chava, pasuk Yud. Devarim, Parik Chava, pasuk Yud. Now, the Yehuda says, I don't need it to teach me is to actually put it down in front of the Mizbeah. Because I already have Pasuk Dalet over here. Pasuk Dalet already taught me, so what did the Pasuk say? The Loka HaKayin HaTanem Yodacha. The Kayin should take the basket in his hand. He should place it. L'fnei Mizbeah HaShem HaLakecha. So already the first Pasuk we teach me, place, put it down. So I already told me to put down the Bikurim. So what am I going to do with the second Pasuk? So I learned that this is talking about Tzufa Wavy. That's what Yehuda says. So according to Yehuda, this pasuk teaches me waving. I don't need to someone to teach me the same thing. It must be the second pasuk that teaches me waving. That's what Rabbi. This is what Rabbi Yehuda holds. Now, Fred has a good question. How in the world does the word placing down mean waving? How do you get that? It's a nice drasha. But how do you understand that putting down means waving? Rashi tells us. Let's see Rashi, the Nachta is Tnufa. So further Rashi says, first of all you have to read it differently. Karibe fihi nechisai. So we have to dictate it different. You have to put different syllables. So that's first. I mean, don't read it vihi nachta in our drusha, because you're right, the word vihi nachta means putting down. It doesn't mean waiting. So Rashi says, it says vihi nechisai. And that word in diktuk somehow could mean something else. I don't know, like the rules of diktuk. What? Yeah, the guy I'm going to say, but yeah. So we say, Lasha, what's the terminology of? For like Nacham Elikin. That's the pasuk by. It's actually happens to be this week or next week's parsha. It's in Bayer B'shalach. B'shalach, and it's not this week's, next week's parsha. It says that Hashem didn't take Klai Yisrael out of its rhyme straight. Right? It says like Nacham Elikin Derech Eretz. Hashem did not lead them through the straight way, because he's afraid that they're going to turn around and they're going to go back.
Nacham
means
to lead.
Right? So Nacham needs to guide or lead. So it says, Lashon Lo Nacham Elikim. Hashem didn't guide them or lead them in the way of. Right? When the pasuk says in a short way, Adam and Mitzrayim, because the pasuk says Hashem was afraid they'll turn back. Hashem didn't want them to turn back. So over here also, what are you doing when you wave? That the kain shu mancha oisa, like you lead it or you guide it, la arba ruchais, to the four sides, uma'ala, you pick it up, umarit. So in a way, you're leading the fruits in all different directions. So it still makes a, that's what the word fihina chisai would mean in this context. Is that good? Everybody's happy with that?
So what, by leading it downwards, you're going to say it's like placing it downwards?
No, if you learn it means place in Pashup Shah.
Right.
It's just with the word nach means to place. If Rabbi Yehuda wants to switch it, he wants to make a drasha.
Right.
He wants to say it doesn't really mean put it in, because we already said put it down.
Right.
He's saying it must mean it's referring to a different word.
Right.
It's a whole different word. The he nachism, which to lead it, you lead it and you in different ways. That's what that's the root, that's what the root comes from. It really means to wave it.
So in the nach, the leading is the same in nach, so like putting it down. No?
That's not how Rabbi Yehuda is learning.
Rabbi Yehuda wants to learn Tnufa from him.
Right.
So he has to learn from the Lashon Manchet.
Rabbi Yehuda is learning, yeah. Rabbi Yehuda is learning different than Pashim Shah, good. Hacham will learn means nothing, means to put it down. Rabbi Yehuda is learning that is a different Shah. So again, what happened over here? Rabbi Yehuda says, what do we want to know? Where do we see the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that he says that putting down is not ma'akev? Right? That even if you didn't put down your Rikurim, it's still kosher. The Gemara answers. But Rabbi Yehuda learns the second pasuk, the second vinachta, to teach me waving. He doesn't use it to teach me that the Torah is repeating the same thing twice. The Rabbanan are going to learn. How did the Rabbanan learn? Before the Zerah Shavim. In this pasuk alone.
They didn't have that drush, and therefore they have two.
Yeah, good.
Yes, therefore
before your next thing, how do they know? How do they argue? But how do you know? How do the Rabbanan know Hanukkah is ma'akiv? Rabbanan learned that this means placing. And the Rabbanan learned means placing. So it says placing, so this means placing. Place it down. And this means place it down. Here's one, and here's two. Right there the second time. So therefore, it's going to be ma'akim. It's going to hold it back. Hold it back. Right there, Rabbanan hold. It says v'imicha two times to teach me why the Torah is telling me. Because this Torah is business. If you don't put it down, you're disqualified. Yehuda said, no, the second hand, it's not disqualified. The second hanacha is teaching me waving, it's not teaching me the same thing twice. So that's the machlokes between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda. So now we have a source for.
Because he had a. Because Zera Shavu, you said it's tradition, right? From his Rebbe?
No, doesn't say Shavu. Fine.
I understand.
No, it's not. The next word is doing something else. What's the other way to learn tenufa? That's the Gemara's next step. The Gemara's next step is how do you know hanacha? The Gemara's next step is if you don't learn tenufa from here, say where do you know tenufa from? So again, we have to realize that the two sides would happen. The Rabbanan are using the second pasuk to teach me what. The Rabbanan are using the second pasuk to teach me a second time to put it down. To teach me that it holds it back. Good. Rabbi Yehuda learns the second half to teach me waiting. Now the Gemara's next step is to have the Rabbanan know that you have to wait. So where the Rabbanan know you have to wait from? That's the Gemara's next step. So Rabbi Yehuda knows you can wait for me. From this Sinachta. Rabbanan used this Sinachta. Tell me it's my act. So how do the Rabbanan know they have to wait? So who's the other Shitas? That's the Gemara's next step. So how do you know you have to. So Uman Tana, let's see the Gemara, the first white line. Uman Tana, who is the Tana? The Palag Alad Rabbi Huda. Who is the Tana that argues on Rabbi Huda? Let's see Rashi. Man Tana, the Palag Alad. What's the question? Who is the Tana, the Palag Alad? Let me read that says. That Hanacha is Ma'akva. Who is the Shita that says Hanacha is Ma'akva? Who is? We're just calling it the Rabbanan. The Gemara wants to know who is. Right. Who is the Shita who learns Hanacha is Ma'akev? So why does Gemara say? It's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Because Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov learns Tenufa from Gzeir Shava. Right? So if he learns Tenufa from Gzeir Shava, that means this extra be not, but it's open. Rabbi Yehuda used it to teach me waiting.
Right.
Now it's saying, who is the Shita who's going to argue, and who we're calling the Rabbana, as he used the second Hanacha to tell me it's Ma'akev, it's holding me back. The Torah is reiterating itself to tell me it holds back. Right? Who is that Shita? It's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Now, how do we prove it's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov? Because he learns Tufa from somewhere else. From the Gzeir Shavu. Mm-hmm. So if he learns Tufa from the Gzeir Shavu, then the second puzzle could be used to tell me that it's Ma'akev. Because then he could use the second puzzle to tell me it's holding back. Is everybody happy with that?
Why are you going from Rabbi Yehuda to Rabbi Nan? Meaning Rabbi Yehuda learned waving from
Vinachtag. Good.
And Rabbanan learned it from Gzeir Shava. They need to know where do you know where waving from?
Really,
we don't know.
Waving established already. They know.
It's not. The pasuk doesn't say. It doesn't say the bikurim one time to wave. It doesn't say them straight out to wave. It's not established. We're already talking about it because we know this, but it's not. The pasukim don't say any time clearly to wave.
But both Rabbanan and. So then how does Rabbi Yehuda come up waving is established.
Not yet.
So why is Rabbi Yehuda then pulling out waving?
What's
the reason Rabbi Yehuda...
It's not really established. You're coming after the fact, telling it's established.
No, but it's established for both of them that they both have to show waving.
That's what's true.
What do you mean?
Simple.
No, that's how they learned the Tachila.
Who said it's established?
So why did Rabbi Yehuda learn waving?
Because he...
Why not?
Why do you make any drasha? That's it, the darshan. It's true that they had some type of reason to say, but there was no...
They had a reason, but they understood that these things had to be...
Probably, it's not for sure.
Now they have to prove... They have to find in the Pesukim where this thing has to be waved.
But you still...
They know already that it has to be waved.
It's not so clear. They have some type of Messiah or something, but that there's such a halacha. It doesn't so... But it's not in the Pesukim.
We're not answering... The Rabbanan has to answer on Rabbi Yehuda. We're answering both of them have to learn waving. They both have to learn waving.
that's not what the Gemara point. The next Gemara was. The Gemara didn't come to say they have to learn waving. The Gemara wanted to know who's going to argue and hold you do something else with the second vehinachta. The Gemara wasn't trying to ask the next how did the Rabbanah know waving. That wasn't the Gemara's question. The Gemara never asked that. The Gemara never asked how did the Rabbanah know waving. The Gemara said who is the one who's going to argue on this second vehinachta. The Gemara said no. Rabbi Yehuda is telling me vehinachta teaching me waving. Who argues and will learn the second vehinachta means that it will hold it back. That was the Gemara's next step.
Okay.
Now the Gemara said, since the Rabbanah know waving from somewhere else, right? They don't have to know, since they happen to know from somewhere else. So this pasuk is going to be open for to teach you enough a second time. So it doesn't have to be. That's the flow of the Gemara. Read the Gemara. The Gemara says, Uman Tana the Pauga. Look at the Gemara. Uman Tana the Pauga. Who is the Tana that argues on him? That's the next step in the Gemara. The Gemara didn't say, Hadadur. The Gemara didn't ask, Hadadur Rabbanah, no waving. We don't care. That's not the Gemara's question. Our Gemara's question is, who argues on Rabbi Huda? That's the flow of the Gemara. Who argues on Rabbi Huda and learns this thing not the difference? Right? You're telling me that you mean not that means waving, right?
And what's the purpose of understanding who's.
Yeah, but that's just based on the flow. We already had this argument from earlier. We already had Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbanan earlier.
No, we didn't.
Sure we did.
No, we didn't. Not Rabbi Yehuda.
Not
Rabbi. Sure we do. The second opinion of
Rabbi Shimon and Rabbanan.
We have Shimon and Kriya. We never had Anach. We have Shimon and Rabbanan and Kriya.
We have Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda by
we have Rabbanan and Rabbi
Yehuda. Now, there's more bread.
We have Kriya and Hanukkah.
We never had. That's this one. The one before this. Now we say, what's your source? That's two. That's the Gemara. Rabbi
that Yehuda. Rabbanan of Tanakha and Nacha, right? One is Rabbi Yehuda, and one is.
I know this is a source. This is here.
That's
but this is where it's coming from. The Gemara said, you just threw me a shita. Now the Gemara said, where did it come from? It's coming from here. We never knew about it before. This is the Gemara. The Gemara said, what was your source for the whole thing? It's saying from here, and it explains it. It's not like we knew it from before. This is the source. Meaning, whenever we're talking about it, it's coming off of here. It's not so much coming off of. We haven't had Rabbi Yehuda before. I don't remember Rabbi Yehuda before. Fine. So again, so what happened in this Gemara? Mari wants to know Mantan of the Balaya. Who's the Shita that's going to argue on Rabbi Yehuda? That's going to hold that you learn this second Pascha Vinachta differently. But who's the Shita that's going to learn the second Vinachta differently? Who's the one that learns the second Vinachta differently? Right, which means the Gemara is going to prove he knows Tanufa from somewhere else. Right, the Gemara is an interesting question. Who is the opinion who argues in Rabbi Yehuda and holds the second Hanacha is to teach me that it's Ma'akif? So what does the Gemara do? We say, I have an opinion who knows Tanufa from somewhere else, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So then, he has opened to use the second Vinach. That's what you want to do, Gemara? That's what you're learning now? Gemara said, who is the opinion that argues on this second Vinach, the on Rabbi Yehuda?
Right.
And who would learn that the second Vinachta is teaching me that it's Ma'akiv, right? Who argues? So Mar says, to Rabbi and Yaakov, why? So he learns Snufa from somewhere else. He said he doesn't need this Vinachta to teach that thing. So it must be.
Why is he arguing on Rabbi Yehuda? Because
he wants to.
I mean, it doesn't seem like he's arguing, it seems like he's agreeing with it.
He
needs the two.
He agrees that you need
replacements, so therefore you bring in a third pasuk for.
He's arguing. He's saying that I have a different pasuk for waving, for tenufa for waving, and then we're the second pasuk of vinachta.
Shows how important it is.
So that's against Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda learned that the second. Rabbi Yehuda held the second vinachta is teaching me that of waving.
I'm sorry, it's the Rabbanan who said both are for replacing.
Good. So because he's going to be the Rabbanan.
Fine.
Good.
I'm sorry.
The only problem I have is homocholic is to move this too often. The first Rabbi Yochanan is where we're not talking about Ruin or Ein Ruin. And the second Rabbi Yochanan, we're talking about Ruin and Ein Ruin.
What do you mean by Rabbi Yochanan?
We said Ruin.
Right.
Rabbi Yochanan, the second Rabbi Yochanan is Ruin.
Hey, well, I don't want to go back into it right now.
No,
that's very after.
But you see,
I think you have to look at it after.
You're comparing something that has those
right.
two options.
But
I mean, it doesn't have those two options.
No, you really only one before. We'll go. Yeah, it's a good question. We'll look at it after. Fine, try to look at it after. Fine, so again. So the Gemara says, Man Tana, who is the Tana, the Palag Ela Rabbi Yehuda, that argues on Rabbi Yehuda and would hold the second Vinachta. It's not coming for waving, but it's coming to teach you out back. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, it is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Now, how do we get to that? How do you know that it's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? The Tanya, that was taught in the Braisa. Velokach hakayin hatana miyadecha. It says by Bikurim, the kayin should take the basket from your hand. Right? Limed al ha-bikurim. This teaches us for Bikurim. Sheteun etnufa. This is how he knows that Bikurim needs tnufa. From this pasuk of Velokach hakayin miyadecha. Tibi Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. This is the rule, the words of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. And Mar said, I still don't see. How do you see from there? You have to wave. Mar said, he didn't explain himself. How do you see in that pasuk? You have to wave. My time, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. What's the reason Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov that he understands that this pasuk means you wave it? Asa, he learned, he brings, which means he brings the Gzer Shava. Yad Yad Mishlamin. Gzer Shava. Of Yad Yad. Ksiv Hacha. It says over here by Bikurim. The kohen should take the basket from your hand, from the owner's hand. Uchsiv, and it says by the carbon shlamim, yadav tivienna es ishe Hashem, that your hands should bring the fire offering of Hashem. So ma kan kohen, just what is it? Just like over here, by the carbon shlamim, you're waving. If the kohen is waving it, like af la long kohen. Also further on by bikurim. Right, it's also referring to the kohen.
Mala. Let's say the kohen is waving by shlamim.
I'll have to look at the pesukim. We'll have to see the pesukim soon. Because we'll have to look at the pesukim. Any question? Mala lan kohen afkan kohen. Mala lan bailam. Just like over here, it's the bailam afkan bailam. So over here also, it is going to be the best. So again, what do we say?
This is reinforcing the zera shava. It's strengthening.
This is
the
zera shava.
That is the zera shava.
Yeah, it's part. That is what we're learning in the zera shava.
It's not only the yadav and the yadcha. Just like
no, those are the words. Those are the words that he's there, Shabbat. Yad, yad is the words.
Didn't we have an issue earlier that it's not exactly the same word?
Yeah, we said it's not a problem. Why
broke it?
Yeah, we said it could be close. It could be even way off. Remember, we said even we had a gemara that said even we had a gemara that said.
Let's give an example.
Yeah, we.
I think it says makan coin after makan coin.
What does that look like over here? That
by here, over here by Bikurim, you said by the shlomi.
Well, that exertion is going the other way, both ways.
I think starting off by saying,
it's going back and forth
here. In our sugya of the Bikurim, it's the kohen is doing the waving. So,
that's
the kohen. So
very good, very good.
There in the shlamim is the kohen.
Good.
The shlamim you just said
is my question.
By his hands, he's going to bring the fire over.
And by Bikurim, it says the kohen.
It doesn't say
kohen, right? And by us, it says kohen. Very good. So by us, it says kohen. Good. So makan kohen. Good. Very good. Makan. Just look over here. By us Bikurim is kind. Apalon over there also by the shlamim also Bikurim. Mala alon baila. What is it over there? It's going to be by the shlamim. It's going to be the baila. Afkan here also. It's going to be the baila. So two. What's three? Two. Back and forth. What's three?
Yeah.
Five. It's two so far.
First we have yad yad.
That's the gzeri shav itself, and there's the lima.
Right. Okay. Fine.
Good.
So
fine.
You have yad yad.
Good. Yeah.
Two, and then you have two and three.
Good.
So however you want to say.
But you have the gzeri shav. Fine. Yes, you have the gzeri shav, and then you have. That the Xer Shava in the two were double in both directions.
Right.
Okay, so how do you do this? Right, so okay, so Maniach Kayin Yadav Tachas Yedei Bailam. The Kayin puts his hands under the hands of the owner. Well, man, if they wave it, so by Shlomim and by Bikurim, by both of them you're gonna wave it. Fine.
By Bikurim or both.
That's what we learned one halacha to each one, right? By Bikurim it says just the Kayin. By Shlomim, it says just the owner. So we make Xer Shava in both directions. Oh. To teach you, but both of them, you do a Kohen and the owner.
You bring the Kohen to the Shlomim and the owner to the Kohen.
To the Bikurim.
To the Bikurim.
Good, perfect. Yeah, very good. Very good. It goes in both. It goes by in both directions. So
this is still supported by Rabbi Eliezer.
That this is all explaining Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov.
Kind of exactly
that he learns that you have to wait for the Bikurim for the pasuk of Alak and Akai.
So he still has that place. Right?
Yeah, so therefore he has a second halacha. Oh, so again, what do you say? He said, have a pasuk of Alak and Akai and Atam Miyadecha. So it says Yad by Bikurim. It says Yadav to the Ena, and it says over there Tnuf, alright? Yadav. Yeah, so we have Yad, Yad. So make a clear shava in both directions. Over here you need the bail and the kohen. Here also you need the bail of the owner and the kohen. Is there shava in both directions?
There shava is for how?
So they learned it. Oh, there shava is a mitzvah. Yeah,
shava is a mitzvah. So now, this is what I was trying to explain before. The Ramanan had a gzer shava, which means they have a mesorah.
They have
a mesorah.
Right.
They already have an understanding of waving. They have it. They have a gezer shava. They have a masura.
Fine.
Go
okay.
On. But they already have. So when you're saying how does Rabbi Nan learn waving? I mean, that Rabbi Yehuda learned it already, and now Rabbi Nan has to answer back on it. It's not true. It's Rabbi Nan has a.
Nachon, then why wasn't asking that? I agree.
Rabbi Nan has a masura of waving. So
I agree.
That the Rabbi Nan has a masura for waving. It's almost more.
I agree to you.
I didn't know which came first.
What?
I didn't know which came first.
And so Rabbi Yehuda didn't have this masura. So that's
fine.
The problem.
He had a limud from a drush.
Rabbi Yehuda still has to learn out waving.
So
now Rabbi Yehuda is forced to use the second pasuk.
Fine, say it. Fine.
Okay. How do you know? It's not this.
I know. The Gemara never asked that.
It's
true. The Gemara never asked your question.
I understand it.
You're also making an assumption that
the
way of learning is not a Masorah. Just because Gzeir Shavah has to be a Masorah doesn't mean that his drush is not a Masorah.
A lot of drush you work from.
Maybe he got it off. Maybe he heard it first.
Fine, here.
And maybe his drush of Manche, like Rashi says, is his Masorah. There was no Gzeir Shavah Masorah, but there was a drush that was a Masorah.
Okay, but Rabbi Nan is
so,
not
so what?
Force. You see what I'm saying?
Fine.
That's not force to answer up on another Yehuda.
It's true. You're right. You're right. 100%. Correct. They're not. But you have to realize the Gemara never asked that the Rabbanan not forced to. Right? You're saying something true. You're saying a true statement. You said, "Well, you're asking a question." And the Gemara, you're saying,
"No, I'm just I don't
bringing
know.
Out."
Rabbi Yehuda didn't have access to.
Fine, it's true. What you're saying is true. That the Rabbanan are not bound to not.
Rabbi Yehuda is forced to use the pasuk. This is basically what I'm saying.
No other option.
There's not an option. He has to learn out waving.
He doesn't have to learn waving. He learns something else. He can bring in a whole other thing.
He still needs to know waving. Waving exists in the world on the Kabbalah.
It's not true. First of all, if he didn't have Xavier Shevin, he's not forced to. It's not true. Every dress
that
he's
not true. That's why you're assuming that. You're making it only on assumption. You don't know that maybe waving came out from this. We don't know that. Maybe waving, the whole waving came out from his leader.
This is already. This is 2,000 years later. This is the end of the second base of Migdash. This is after the second
base. Fine, it could be.
We're talking about things from a long time ago.
Nachon, you're right. So it could be he was forced. Fine, it could be. I don't know if he needed to use this pasuk. He had to learn out of somewhere. I don't know where he had to learn out of. Right, Nachon. He had to learn out from here. Okay.
But this is where Yehuda learned that waving was applicable towards Bikurim.
Nachon, you have to realize. And it's Ma'ake.
Okay.
This is where Yehuda learns it from Bikurim that there's waving.
Okay.
Aminachto.
Okay.
And since the Rabbanan. Also, they learned waving from somewhere else, so they didn't learn like he learned it. So now they have two inakto and hanichot, a duplication, a repetition. That's ma'akev.
And also, good. Bikurim is not a korban either. Exactly.
The speaker
is not a korban. It's brought up on the mizbeach.
He didn't. He needs to learn how. He learns how. His mesoris learn how. Waving with bikurim.
It's my
so now he's only left with one.
My point is, it's not maybe a Masora. He's just forced to. He has to learn how to wave.
Fine.
That's not the problem.
With
he's
that.
Stuck in learning how to wave. He has to learn how to wave.
I'm not sure. It's not a problem. It's not a problem. It's good. It's good.
Fine.
He just
says something like
that. He has to learn how to wave.
Fine.
One side.
That's fine.
One side.
He doesn't have a Masora.
He had a Masora. And therefore,
that's to do for us
Rabbi Yehuda didn't have this story.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
In a different direction.
Yeah, I'm not sure it was a question.
Right,
I think it's
saying. And therefore, he's forced to hold in the opinion that you could just bring it to Pnei Abai.
What's your opinion on this? Good.
He's forced to say Pnei Abai, right? Because he doesn't have the Masorah to learn how the Gezeirah Shavah.
Fine, good, fine.
It doesn't change anything. Right. My point is, it doesn't change anything. It's just, it's a different way of looking to see how they were, like why they did what they did.
Okay, good, very good. Perfect. So let's see over here, Rashi. Let's see Rashi, Man, Tana, Tepalakala. So we saw the Rashi. Who's the Tana that argues, when Mirren, they want to say, Hanacha is Ma'akva, Hanacha is Ma'akva. Said Rabbi Yazar ben Yaakov, he did not go, because why is Rabbi Yazar ben Yaakov? That he learns Hanacha is Ma'akva. Because the Nafkale is learned after him, Tanufa, Mikra, created from a different pasuk. So therefore, he has the second pasuk open. So he'll use the second Binachta to teach me that it holds it back. Now, in the Gzeresha, what was the Gzeresha? Mala lon Bailim, just like over there, by Karmish Shlomo, it's referring to the Bailim. Why? Tahuba Bailim Mishtai, over there, it's dealing with, and it's speaking about the Bailim in that pasuk, by the Karmish Shlomo. Because it's written over there. Yavi as Karbanoi Lashem, he should bring his carbon to Hashem. Mizbah Shalama. The Samachleh, and next to it it says, Yadav Tviyana, his hands should bring it. So with you referring to the person who brought the carbon, we're saying his hands should wave it. So she's like, oh, so that's how we understand over there, it's the owner waving it. We're saying, so we make a Gzeir Shav in both directions. That over here, by Bikurim, the owner and the Kohen have to wave it. And also by Shlomim, they both have to wave it. But now Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov ends up with the extra Vinachta to teach me that Hanacha is Ma'akav, which will be the Shita of the Rabbana, which we held until now. Right? We were going all along to Shita that Hanacha is Ma'akav. So it'll be like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, because it says Hanacha twice. That's why Hanacha will be Ma'akav. So it's interesting to note that how did they wave it, right? How did the Kayan and the Bailam wave it? Mm-hmm. Anybody knows how they waved it?
All four directions.
The Ritvus.
Oh, the Ritvus. Oh, they waved it in six directions.
Yeah, the Chatzitza between the thing and the Kohen. So, right. So even though it's Mashma, that it seems that,
under,
that it would be under, actually the Kohen has to be touching right. It and the Bailam on
from the side. The Kohen would hold on the bottom of the basket and the owner from the sides.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they would wave like that because you can't have a Hefzik, you have to be holding the basket. So you can't be that he puts his hands under the hands of the coin. So really, the coin holds like this, and the owner holds it. The owner holds it from the sides of the coin. Also, yeah. Also, just understand why were they waving the tenufa? What were they waving exactly by the carbon shlamim? By the record, were they waving the basket of fruits? What were they waving over there exactly? So it says so first they would do shchita, and then they would do shchita, and then they would sprinkle the blood. They would take out the body parts, and they take the chazav shaik, right? And the emurim, and the kohen also would put it in there also. And it was a shalmitah. They would also add the breads to wave. And if it was a it depends on what type of carbon it was. Sometimes carbon shlam. Sometimes they would also do the chayim. This right. Different types of carbon. It's interesting. They wove also. Set their waving the body parts. The body parts also of a carbon shlam. Fine. So far now at least we understand what this Rabbi Yehuda that holds that hanacha is not ma'akev, which is a new shita for us. Okay. Amar Rava. Amar Rava by Ada Amar Bitzcha. Now it's a new sugya a little bit. Which point, right? We're saying now that so a Kohen who eats Bikurim, he gets Malchus. That's what we said in the Mishnah, correct? Mm-hmm. Now, we want to know when are they considered Bikurim fruits, right? It's not necessarily considered Bikurim if you eat them, Yuchai and Misa, the minute you separate them. The minute you separate the fruits, right? Someone eats them. You ate something that belongs to you. You're not necessarily chayav misa, right? So, at which point exactly of these bikurim, at which stage does the person get the chayav misa that already comes in a chayav misa? Which means we're saying bikurim get the status of truma. That if you eat them, you're chayav misa, right? It's not like maaser sheni, maaser rishon, maaser shani. So, at which stage exactly do these bikurim get the status that a zar who eats them is chayav misa? Now we're talking about a zar. Until now we're talking about a Kohen who ate them before the time. You get Malchus, right? Now, which status do we say that the Bikurim have the status of Truma and a Yisrael who eats them is Chayim Misa? So, Me'emasai, so that's Amar Rava, but Bikurim, Me'emasai, Mechayim Lai. The top of your testament, Aleph, Bikurim, when are you Chayim them? A zar, a stranger, a Yisrael who eats them, when is he Chayim Misa with the Shemaim? So, the Gemara says, Mishayiru Panei Abayis, when they enter the Azar in the Beis HaMikdash, then that's when a person in Israel who eats them is chayav misa. What's the top Rashi? Me'emesai chayav nalem misa zar ha'achom. Now we're talking about Israel who eats them. So he said, from when they see the Pnei Abayis, when you enter into the Azara of the Misa Mikdash, that's when you're, according to Rashi, that's when you are chayav misa. That's interesting that a lot of times the Rambam says, what does it mean, Mishayor Pnei Habayis? If he sees the face of the Bayis, right? Does it mean into the Azara? So it's interesting, the Rambam holds that it's really referring to when you can see the face of the Beis HaMikdash when you enter Yerushalayim. That's what it means. It doesn't mean when you physically see the face of the Mikdash because you came inside, right? It means when you came into the city of Yerushalayim already. That's at a Rambam. It's interesting. Rashi doesn't like that. Rashi didn't learn that it just means Pasha. It means when you come into the Azar. But the Rambam learns when you come into the city of Yerushalayim.
Well, this is saying that the Zar cannot eat the fruit when, as soon as it enters into the
Azara,
but the Kohen can't eat the fruit until it's put down.
Yeah, but he's not Chayav Misa. He'll get mal because he does something wrong. He ate it too early. But Israel is going to get who eats it misa for the minute.
Misa, the second this thing enters into the.
Achon the Beit Hamikdash. Good, because we're saying it gets the status of truma. The minute it enters the Beit Hamikdash, it gets the status of truma.
Okay.
And therefore, since the status of truma now, if Israel eats truma, we know a person eats truma, they're chay misa, misa de shemayim. So here also we're saying. When is Yichai Misa Mishayaru? When is Yichai Misa Mishayaru? Mishayaru Panei Abayis. Fine. Shkayach. Baruch Hashem. It's good. Shkayach everybody for it.